Isaiah Johnson lined up wide to the right. Bonner's in the slot to the right. That's the wide side of the field. They hand it off. Catalan up the middle. Catalan at the marker. Touchdown, Houston. The Cougars continue to roll. They lead 23-0 with a point after to come. Ball at midfield as the Cougars move to our right. They throw this one. They're going to throw it downfield. Wide open man, Chance Allen. Caught at the 25-20. But race to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston.
Houston upsetting a couple teams this year and knocked off Louisville. Louisville doesn't need to cry about being in the playoffs. They'll be happy to be in the top 15 the way things panned out this week. They really took one on the chin. And, hey, I think Lamar Jackson will still win the Heisman Trophy, but, wow, big game. Listen, joining us now, Steve Karp of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, among several other assignments. Steve is the first ever beat writer covering a major professional sports franchise here in Las Vegas. The newest NHL franchise, the Las Vegas... Oh, well, they don't have a name yet. But according to majority owner Bill Foley, they do have a name and have one ready for us since August, and I guess we're supposed to find out this coming Tuesday. Steve, is that still the game plan, or could the name revealing date change again?
Yep, no, they finally have everything green lighted to go on Tuesday night, and they're going to make a big party of it at Toshiba Plaza. So if anyone listening wants to go, they can. It's free to park at the New York Garage. You don't have to pay to park, which is nice. You don't see that at an MGM property these days. And Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, is going to be there. There's going to be entertainment. There's going to be food. There's going to be merchandise for the first time available for sale. And it'll be a big night for the franchise because they'll finally have their identity as to what they'll be, and they'll finally have their brand for the first time. That the world will know what they are.
Yeah, I think it's highly about time. I say it's down to two. They said there were three choices. I don't think the Golden Knights make any sense for Las Vegas. So to me, it's going to be the Desert Knights or the Silver Knights. Yeah. The Desert Knights, of course, were Las Vegas, and it's a desert. And the Silver Knights, it's the Silver State, and silver kind of represents money, and it's Las Vegas again. So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's the Desert Knights because... If the color scheme that I've seen is accurate, they're going to have a wide array of colors that you would see in the desert. And Foley gets his black, gold, and gray in there that he wanted initially because he went to West Point. And those are Army's colors. So he gets his wish. He gets some sort of knights. And he doesn't get the black knights, but he gets some sort of knights. And... He's real excited. When I talked to him the other day, he was very enthusiastic. He said it'll be worth the wait. We shall see. And, we'll go forward, I guess. I mean, they'll start selling stuff and try to start bringing in some money. They've been spending a lot of money, as you know, hiring people, paying their $500 million to the league and other things. So for them, it'll be nice to get some revenue coming in.
Well, I think so. And I mean, I knew the Black Knights was never going to fly. First of all, you've got the Chicago Blackhawks. I had a feeling they would have a problem with it, let alone the cadets of Army, you know, the Black Knights. I just knew it would never fly. Listen, I don't know about you, but being a member of the media, trying to track down people employed by Black Knight Financial Services or Black Knight Productions or Las Vegas Hockey, whatever you want to call it, to get information or get interviews has been one of the most challenging endeavors I have experienced in my 25 years in this business. Any idea why everything is so secretive?
I'm guessing that when Foley went to West Point, he probably took a course or two in spying and stuff and subterfuge and
espionage.
It is weird. I've had my own issues as well, trying to get information or getting George McPhee on the phone. So I understand where you're coming from. And I just think that's just his not being used to owning a sports franchise. He's a businessman. He doesn't deal with the media very much, other than to announce he's got a new restaurant or a new winery or his company, you know, their quarterly report. You know, they did this or did that. So in that regard, they are behind the learning curve. But I think you're going to see that change in the weeks ahead. They are looking to hire a media relations person locally to handle that. And you would call that person if you want to get someone on your show or if you just want to get information. And, you know, obviously when you get a coach and players, and they'll be like any other NHL team. And you'll still be dealing, by the way, with clandestine stuff, especially when it comes to injuries. As you well know, this sport doesn't define that you hurt your knee or you hurt your elbow or you hurt your shoulder. You have an upper body or a lower body injury, which to me is about the stupidest thing going. Just say what it is. I know they don't want guys getting targeted by opponents, but if you're Jonathan Quick and you're going to be out for 3 or 4 months, or you're Steven Stamkos and you're out for 4 months, what's the difference? You know, so you'll have to get accustomed to that if you're a fan, if you're a media member, whatever.
Part of the game. He's Steve Karp with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and you can follow Steve on Twitter at SteveKarpRJ. Steve, in a former life, I was a sports marketing specialist for the Detroit Lions, Detroit Tigers, and Detroit Red Wings radio networks, and by this time of year, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but we already had a marketing and promotional campaigns for the upcoming season in front of decision makers, as many businesses are already planning their 2017 budgets right now. Any idea what, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but what the hell they're waiting for? I mean, like you said, they're spending a lot of money, and once these budgets are planned, there's always non-traditional revenue out there. But like I said, when I was working for those, man, if I didn't have campaigns on a bunch of people's tables by right now, my job was in jeopardy, and they don't even have somebody out there getting these campaigns, putting them together yet.
Well, their priority was getting the hockey operation up and running, and I think they did that the right way when they hired George McPhee in July, and George put his staff together so quickly. They have got an all-star staff of hockey people. Now they're building the business side. They've hired several people. They've hired salespeople. They are working on sponsorship deals, both locally and nationally. So they're catching up. You know, they make a couple of hires a week. They just don't announce them. And they're working on a TV and radio package. They're working on their AHL affiliate. They're working on a lot of stuff. So it's not like they don't know what they're doing. They had priorities. And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that the hockey operation is much more important because the product they put on the ice is what counts. Because if you're not good, nobody's going to want to watch you. So they have a chance to put a good team on the ice next year, and that's where they're putting that's where they put their initial energies into.
All right, well, I'll ask you this. I remember the last big expansion in the early 90s, and all of the expansion franchises, pardon a better term, they sucked that first year.
Yeah.
Everyone should be prepared for that here, right?
Not necessarily, because the game has changed since the last expansion in 2000 with Columbus and Minnesota. First of all, you have more teams to pick from. You have more players in the pool to choose from. There's a salary cap to deal with, and it's a lot fairer for Vegas. They could also go after other unrestricted free agents prior to the expansion draft. So the NHL's given them every opportunity to succeed. Now, whether they do or not will be up to them, you know, how they craft their roster and what moves they make, but and who they draft in the amateur draft. But, I think this is the best opportunity yet for any sports expansion team, whether it's hockey, basketball, baseball, football, to have a shot to succeed, because the league really wants this to work.
I know that all the fans out here, especially the people that have all pre-bought season tickets, are saying from your mouth to God's ears right now to have a decent team that would be able to compete the first year. Listy, before I let you go, we got about 1 minute left here. Last month, you wrote an article about MGM Resorts International CEO Jim Murring being interested in bringing an NBA franchise to Las Vegas and having T-Mobile Arena serving as their home. Sure. The NHL is here. A stadium suited for the NFL has been approved, and now all we're waiting for is an NFL team to fill that stadium. Right. It stands to reason that the NBA would be the next in line. I know NBA Commissioner Adam Silver supports Las Vegas a lot more than David Stern did, but how realistic is this happening, say, in the next 5 years?
I think there is a chance. I actually do, because the Seattle thing is coming on board, it appears, with Chris Hansen's arena project in Seattle. So if that does materialize, they're going to want a 32nd team. Now, I'm not sure what team would relocate. Maybe Charlotte, maybe New Orleans. Those would be the two possible options. And I don't think New Orleans is pulling out of the league anytime soon, because they have solid ownership with Tom Benson. And I think, you know, post Katrina, even though it's been, you know, 10 years now, the NBA doesn't want to abandon that market. They stuck with them through the worst of times for that city. But Charlotte, you know, that's a possibility, and you know, especially with the law that they put in about transgenders in the state of North Carolina, maybe that happens, and maybe Michael Jordan moves a franchise to Vegas or somewhere, or partners with MGM and they move the team to Vegas. I could see it.
And Michael Jordan in Las Vegas gambling? God, I can't imagine that. Listen, he's Steve Carr.
You can play Shadow Creek every day.
Every day, $2 million on the golf course. I didn't say that. He is Steve Carr, and you can check out his articles appearing regularly in the RJ. And again, you can follow Steve on Twitter, at Steve Carr RJ. Steve, thanks again, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again in the near future.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Listen, I know we got to take a real quick break, Magnum. Let's get back here after the break. We'll do Blazin'. We'll do our picks, NCAA, and NFL if we got time.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing. Two happy hours every day in America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. I am down there every Monday night for Monday Night Football. We do a party. We give away some replica jerseys. We give away wings, party wings. It's a great time. I get there about 5 o'clock. Game kicks off at 5:30. Get there early. Get a table, man. Come say hello to me, man. I'll give you some free wings. I'm giving them out all the time there. Listen, Blazin', you know, I got to give some love, Magnum, some serious love right now to the Western Michigan University Broncos. They're not going to get any love at bowl time. And you know what's going to happen? If Boise State somehow wins out or gets lucky and doesn't even have to play in the conference championship game, which they're probably not going to, although you know, we'll see what happens next weekend with Wyoming, but chances are Wyoming could move on, win next week, and Wyoming gets the crown. They get to play San Diego State again, and Boise could win and doesn't even have to go to the championship game. They'll have one loss, and watch and see. Somehow, they already leapfrog Western. They'll end up getting to play in a New Year's Bowl game, and Western will go undefeated in the MAC and not get to go. And yet we said earlier in the season that the MAC is more respected than the Mountain West. Not when it comes to the Boise State Broncos. They draw, they got a blue field, and their coaches end up in the NFL. So that's why they will get the ticket, the golden ticket to play on New Year's Day. But I'm giving love for Blazin' to Zach Terrell, the quarterback of Western Michigan, who against Buffalo in a game they knew, terrible weather up there in Kalamazoo, 38-0, they shut out Buffalo, and He goes 29 of 37 for 445 yards and four touchdowns. The top quarterback in college this weekend. And then how about his receiver, Corey Davis? The two of them have been magic all year long and are a good reason they are where they are. Corey Davis also among the top receivers, number four this week in his output. 13 catches, 173 yards, and two touchdowns. That's a combination. That's a squad. They also got a hell of a running back up there in Kalamazoo. Hats off to you, Broncos. You'll get some love here, but I have a feeling when it comes time to the bowl committee, no matter what happens, unless Boise somehow goes down again, you're not going to get any love, and you definitely got to win out, and you still aren't going to get any love. But you know what? You are blazing on out of line. What do you got for me, Mags?
Well, I'm going to go with the collective. I'm going to go with Mountain West running backs. Now, how would you like to be the fourth leading rusher in the country, as Brian Hill of Wyoming Cowboys is? He's the fourth leading rusher in all of college football, yet he's the third leading rusher in the Mountain West Conference.
Crazy, isn't it?
Brian Hill, Jeremy McNichols, who had a huge game against UNLV on Friday night.
Big, that's the guy I'm talking about.
And Donnell Pumphrey, who was shut down last night by the Wyoming defense. Only 76 yards for Pumphrey. He was actually passed by Deonta Foreman of the Texas Longhorns. Foreman, with a 250-yard effort yesterday against a horrific Kansas team, leapfrogs Donnell Pumphrey by 8 yards. However, Pumphrey, McNichols, Hill, number 2, 3, and 4, respectively, in the country in rushing. That's pretty damn awesome. And that, I would say, is definitely blazing.
It is, Mags. But, you know, I said earlier in the year that I can't imagine Pumphrey not being at the Athletic Club in New York for the Heisman ceremony. Last night's game really hurt those chances. Just because you've only got four spots tops, usually three that get there. And I don't think he's going to get there now. He really needed to have 150-yard games from here on out. Against Wyoming would have been a huge showing for him. But after UNLV ran all over Wyoming, he couldn't. That doesn't bode well for him. And, I think you won't see him in New York now, which is a shame. But the good news is in a year from now, you will see that man playing on Sundays, because he is definitely an NFL caliber back and has been one for a couple years. That's blazing. Mags, good job. Brought to you every week by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Plaza. Wings Beer and Sports, two happy hours every day. And again, we're there every Monday night for Monday Night Football. Mags, let's quickly get over. We got a transition right now, and I want to hear you know, the Michigan State game, mind-blowing up top again. Michigan and Ohio State both win this week, but they both win ugly. And a bonehead, I'm sorry. I you know, yesterday I thought differently. I think differently about the Michigan State decision with 4 minutes and 41 seconds to go. D'Antonio decides to go for two. I'm sorry. You're at home. You just tied the game up. You got all the momentum in the world. Granted, you have no chance of playing in a bowl game, but a win over Ohio State would save the entire season for Michigan State right now. The entire season! That's how big this game was. Why wouldn't you kick the extra point? You got 4 minutes and 41 seconds to go. Your defense has been playing pretty well. If Ohio State does go down in story, you got to score anyways. But you know what? If you go up by 1 point and you get that, it kind of puts a bug in Ohio State's ass. And I think they got a better chance of going down and like beating you by a field goal. Tie the game, and now they're tight. It's like, oh my God, you score a field goal. You go for the 2-point conversion, it's like rubbing it in their face. I don't know. I liked it yesterday. I said, you know what? You're playing for nothing, D'Antonio. Go for it. Now looking at it in retrospect, that would have been a huge win that they might have been able to pull off. Again, they had momentum. They were at home. I'm shocked by it. Here's what Urban Meyer had to say after that game last night.
You know, once you have two players rush over 100 yards against a defense that says we know you're running, that's tough. And we wanted to throw it. You know, I wanted to. There's a couple plays that were half specific. There's right on the tip of my tongue, and then you start watching the clock. If a ball's tipped, or you lose that game. And so, you know, I wish we would not have punted the damn thing out of the end zone at the end and tried to drop him back in there. That was one of the most disappointing things. But I thought we did fine. You know, I don't think it was a game of high execution because, you know, on both ends of the ball, offense and defense, it's hard to run the ball. They know what's coming.
Man, I think you know what's coming, but Urban Meyer has a horseshoe up his ass. Playing in the horseshoe in Columbus, that guy just continues to find ways to win. And I'll tell you what, after what I saw this week, Alabama, even though it was a very pedestrian win over Chattanooga, matter of fact, that game was close up until late in the third quarter, still Alabama, number one, there's no doubt about that. Clemson, definitely number two now. They got to jump up two notches. You got to drop down Ohio State to third, even though almost fourth, barely beating a horrible Michigan State squad. squad that has played okay the last 2 weeks, but please. And then Michigan, I'm sorry, you got to spank the Hoosiers at home in inclement weather. You've got to spank the Hoosiers. Way too close of a game, 20-10. I don't know what's going to happen, but Mags, I got to tell you, man, this is absolutely one of the most wacky situations I've seen. Let me tell you, all the teams right now, in my opinion, and I think nationally, still have a shot at the playoffs. Alabama, Clemson, no doubt. Check this out. Ohio State could only play one more game, Mags. They could end up 12-1. Okay, 12-1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and not play in the Big Ten championship game, because I'm telling you right now what I think is going to happen. Penn State is going to find a way to win their game this week, okay? They're going to find a way. And it's not really that big of a finding a way. They got to go to Michigan State and beat them, okay? And the only reason I say find a way because Ohio State struggled, but Penn State beats Michigan State. They control their own destiny to a degree. If Ohio State beats Michigan and Penn State beats Michigan State, Penn State represents the division in the Big Ten. And then on the other side, Wisconsin is, let me see, I wrote all this stuff down. Wisconsin's almost a lock in theirs as well.
Yeah, they would need to lose to Minnesota, I believe.
But Minnesota, it's not going to be, I mean, it's still a little bit of a tough game to have to beat Minnesota, right? You still got to win that game against Minnesota. So the way it looks now in the Big Ten East,
and then Nebraska would need to lose to.
Nebraska would have to lose.
Nebraska would have to beat Iowa.
Here's the scenarios: U of M is in if they beat Ohio State. Period. Penn State is in if they beat MSU and Ohio State beats U of M. And Ohio State is in if they beat U of M and MSU beats Penn State. That does not sound very likely. In the West, Wisconsin is in if they beat Minnesota or if Nebraska loses at Iowa. Because of the highest national ranking, it's weird, but Wisconsin really has a really good path. I mean, you think, well, they could end up in, what's amazing is you could end up in a four-way tie in the Western Conference of the Big Ten. If Minnesota and Iowa both win, okay, Iowa beats Nebraska, Minnesota beats Wisconsin, you have a four-way tie. But based on the four-way tie and the way it all pans out, Wisconsin would end up going if that happens. So really, the only two teams...
Well, they would probably fall a little bit if they lost, though.
Well, they're going to fall for sure, but what about this, Mags? What if, put it this way, Penn State goes to the Big Ten championship game and beats Wisconsin or Nebraska if they go, right? Ohio State had beaten Michigan for that to happen. So Ohio State's sitting there. Now you've got Penn State that wins their way through.
1:54.
We're just about out of time.
1:54.
They win their way through, okay? They win their way through. And what happens? What if Oklahoma wins the Big 12? They don't lose another game. Washington wins out. Alabama, Clemson. What are you going to do? And not even mention, I said there was a team in the 20s. If Florida somehow beats Florida State next week and beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, they've only got two losses. How do you keep them out at that point? It is a crazy world. Mags, we're out of time. We can't even talk about the NFL anymore. All we can do is our picks real quick because we're out of time. I'm going to tell you right now, I am going against conventional wisdom. I'm going to go with the sharp money. And believe it or not, I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens and the 7.5 points this morning's line in Dallas. Sooner or later, the rookies have to have a bad game. And now that Tony Romo's been named the starter and he's willingly sitting back, watch. Dak Prescott's going to go out and lay an egg today, and so will Ezekiel Elliott. And Baltimore will go in Dallas and win. I don't know why, but I'm taking the Cowboys. What about you, brother?
Well, I'm excited because I had another win last week, 4-1-1 on the season for myself. I'm a little surprised at this line. Jared Goff making his first start for the Los Angeles Rams. They will host the Miami Dolphins. I am going to go with a team that I loathe because I absolutely hate the Miami Dolphins. I think they're going to beat the hell out of the Rams. They're laying 1 point on the road. It just seems like too good. You know, it almost seems like too good of a line, almost like maybe the odds makers know something that I don't about Jared Goff. He stunk in the preseason. I like the Dolphins to win outright. They're laying a point. So basically, if they win the game, you're going to win that bet. I mean, obviously, you could end up with a tie, which would be bad, but I like Miami laying the one on the road in Los Angeles. Jay Ayagi is playing well. The Dolphins are playing well.
Thank you for your understanding.
So, you know, I think we'll have to just go with Miami because I think they're going to take care of business.
All right, there's your pick, Miami Dallas. I don't know why the Lions line is only 6.5 against Jags at home. Something smells with that one, too. Listen, we're out of time. This is Out of Line. I want to thank Steve Karp of the Las Vegas Review Journal, Jalen Poyser, UNLV guard, of course, my producer, Magnum. We're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio. I'll borrow a line from my good friend, Bernie Fratto, and fellow sportscaster. Hey, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyways. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for your understanding, and I want to thank the crowd tonight, the people of Las Vegas who are here.